Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Monday, April 23rd, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I have to say, Wendy, I am really happy because I am currently experiencing my ideal weather. You know, the one that I use whenever I want to, you know, influence the weather, change like storm and redirect or something
like that. Yeah, blue skies.
Blue skies, sun. I mean, clear sky, not even a cloud in the sky. Temperatures in the high 60s, low humidity. I mean, it is gorgeous. And I was out taking my walk and I was listening to my music and I was grinning ear to ear and I was having a grand old time. So this is my happy time. This is a really good happy time for me.
Well, I'm like anxious, like you would not believe, to hear about how your adventure was going to your first Abraham Hicks
meeting. Oh, yeah, sure. It was fun. It was interesting. And I have to say, it's very much like what you see in the YouTube videos, not surprisingly, because the YouTube videos are of Abraham Workshop. So, you know, you kind of expect them to be, you know, very similar.
Right.
And I wasn't surprised that most of what was done was fairly elementary compared to where we've gotten with the show and where I've got with my own development. So, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot that was new. The one thing that I did like that I saw for the first time, you had told me about how they are now expanding the three-step process to a five-step process. And you'd kind of quickly gone over that with me. Oh, that was like a month ago or something like that. Well, they went over it in fairly good detail. They weren't doing it extensively throughout the entire workshop, but there was one chunk of time where they were going over it. And I got it. I understood it. It made more sense to me. So that was probably my biggest highlight was getting that part in a way that I had not gotten before.
That's great. And by the way, you had asked me at one point if we could talk about the five steps.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I actually have it written out and I'm ready to talk about it on any show that we decide is the right time.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's figure out, we'll put our heads together and figure out a show to do that on, because I like it. Now that I fully understand it, I like it a lot. And I realized that, like so many things with Law of Attraction, I have previously used it without knowing it. You know, that it actually is something that I'd done, not because I was, you know, consciously doing five steps, but because it just seemed like the right way to do it at the time. So, yeah, I think we'll have a lot
really,
to talk about.
Well, really, steps four and five are mastering steps one through three. And I don't think it's something – I don't think any of the steps are things you do on purpose.
Well, I mean, certainly without knowing the law of attraction. Once I learned the law of attraction, yeah, I was doing them as deliberately as I could. And I have tried to do them as deliberately as I could. But very often, right, I don't. But very often it's just – you know, I'm feeling good. Let's see what happens. Wing it. But no, sometimes I've tried to do it deliberately, you know. Well, they call it that, deliberate creation. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, so were there any times during the workshop that you, like, really felt a huge resonance with what they were saying?
Oh, all of it. There was not a single aspect of the workshop that I did not resonate to. It was a very high vibration feeling throughout. You know what the one strange thing was, though? I went to this thing, especially after hearing some of your stories, expecting that people would be chatty and, you know, getting to know people and so forth, and not at all. I mean, people were somber, and I'm thinking, are we at the same workshop?
I mean, I would say, like, at one of my workshops, I went – this was one of the only ones I went to completely solo by myself. You know, I didn't go with any friends. And so I sat down. I was sitting in an aisle seat, and another lady sat next to me. And it felt weird to not talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. Yeah. You know, I mean, I can be social when I choose to, and I can also be very quiet when I want to.
Sure.
You know, so, like, we chatted, and it was kind of nice between breaks. You know, we would chat for a moment, and we'd save each other's seat and that kind of thing. But it wasn't even somebody that I asked, you know, like, hey, what, you know, let's share information. Because I didn't feel that level of connection.
Yeah.
But,
that's what happened.
Of the six I've been to, I've only made a handful of friends where I felt really connected to them.
Well, I barely felt even connected to most of the people. I mean, I was smiling with people. I was saying hello. No, I think I got three people to actually say something to me. I mean, what?
Well, you know, when I was at the Cancun land event or land resort, There were like 1,500 of us, mm-hmm. and the whole resort is only filled with people who go to who are part of the Abraham Hicks workshop.
Right.
And it was for a week, and so I think we had 5 days worth of workshops in the morning. And one of the things I found really fascinating was, as much as I got tons of new insights, you know, at the workshops in the morning, I found that, or I came to the awareness that just because somebody lives and wants to know more about law of attraction and that they're even connected to Abraham doesn't mean that we all have it means we're not necessarily a match to one another.
Well, that's true.
In
yeah.
terms of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and like I had meals with many lovely people, but there were only a couple that I really stayed connected with, you know, and I didn't see that as a negative, but kind of like you know, what I'm hearing is you're kind of surprised that it wasn't more chatty and you didn't, you know, have more networking connections.
Or at least a little bit more friendly. I mean, that's the part. I can understand if people don't want to network. That's okay. I wasn't really there to network anyway. But, like, for instance, at the first break, Louise wanted to sit inside for a bit. So I left and I went to the hallway. You know, they got the books and all that kind of stuff. And there was one line mm-hmm. for, like, a water cooler. And there was the coffee. And, you know, I'm not a coffee drinker. So I said, okay, well, water cooler. That sounds good. So I'll get some water. And it was a short line. Got in line. And nobody's saying anything. And I'm like looking at people, and you know, one person kind of turned to me, "Hi, how you doing?" And just turned away, like, "Oh, okay." Well, as I got up to the cooler, another woman comes over from another direction, and realizes she's cutting in line. I say, "Oh no, that's okay. Go ahead." And she kind of hesitates, so I reach for a plastic cup and I hand it to her, and she looks up for like literally 0.3 seconds, gives me a split second smile, grabs the little spigot on the container, fills up a water glass, and hurries away. I'm thinking,
wow,
what was that?
You know, well, now that you're saying it, I have to tell you, I guess this is where I turn on and off my introvert extrovert part of me. Like, it's very typical if you're at a one morning workshop where when they take a break, you know, the line for the ladies' room is always like forever long. And once I get into the line, for me, it's uncomfortable to stand for a long period of time being quiet, especially when you all know you've just experienced an hour of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the one who actually starts conversation, and I get multiple people in line to start talking. But I realize, well, I'm the one who initiates that on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, I've never been the total extrovert, so that part doesn't come easily to me. I figured if I just say hello and, you know, how you doing, and try to get it started that way, but they weren't reciprocating. So I probably would have had to be, you know, the chatty Cathy in order to get them going. Because whoa, talk about a tough audience.
That's an interesting experience.
Yeah.
So what did Louise think?
Oh, she liked it. She liked it. It was not like I said, it was not new. None of the stuff was really new except for the 5-step thing. And the word of the day was satisfaction or satisfying or feeling satisfied. And so that
cool.
that played up a lot in you know, the various stories that she told, and the stories were hysterical. They were really, really funny. That was fun. that was really good. I love the stories.
You know, something that you may not experience until a month, 3 months, 6 months from now is like the overall vibrational shift that most likely has occurred for you, because that's not something that I really noticed until after the fact.
Well, I don't know exactly what you're referring to, obviously, but I think I have some sense of it because I do feel better than I felt on Friday by a fairly significant amount. I feel happier. You'll remember that I went to the thing with the idea that I had a couple questions that I wanted to ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where, you know, the first round of hands go up and so forth, and I don't raise my hand. And Louise turns to me and says, "Aren't you going to raise your hand?" And I instantly replied, "No." I had no desire to raise my hand at all, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
I just kind of went with it. And then the second round of question, you know, hands going up, trying to get onto the hot seat, and I still didn't raise my hand. And I'm asking myself, why don't I want to raise my hand? I had these questions in mind. After, mm-hmm. I think by the time the third round came, I finally realized what it was. I no longer needed to have them answered.
Mm.
I think what had happened was somehow, because of the experience that was going on and hearing what people were saying and what Abraham was saying and so forth, I think what happened was I realized that my questions were just kind of another way to get away from the primary task, which is focus on what you want and feel good. And once I realized that, I lost interest in asking them. the interest just went away. So the way I'm explaining it is I got my questions answered. That's the way I say it.
Yeah. And you know, that's the cool thing about going to an event like that. I've heard Abraham say that in advance of the actual workshop, we have already convened. And so they're already knowledgeable and up to speed with every question that every participant who attends actually has in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they select people into the hot seat, they do so with the understanding that they will select people that will represent many people's questions in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that we pretty much can guarantee that by the end of the day, all of your questions will be answered.
Well, it was true in my case. I can say that for sure.
Yeah. And for me, I know I have lots of questions, but by the time I get there, I don't really know what they are. But I feel like, in a sense, prior to my attending, like once I've made the decision, I'm going and I paid my money and I have the ticket, I think all the questions that are showing up in my life, and sometimes I buy my ticket 3 months in advance,
mm-hmm.
but by the time I get there, some of my questions really had already been answered, and then the ones that have been floating around in my head get answered in the day of the actual workshop. And so to me, part of the experience is knowing that all of the questions that I have are being put into like a workshop vortex so that I'll get what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone, I think, 5 or 6 times, and I've never been up on the hot seat. And I think there's only been 1 or 2 times I even raised my hand.
Mm.
And when I didn't get called on, my question got resolved.
Oh, okay.
So that in itself is a really interesting aspect. The other thing is how when you're in a room full of so many Abraham people, and Abraham, you know, they start with kind of a summary sort of, or an introduction in the beginning. And its purpose is to take all these people who are in the audience coming in the door with very different level vibrations and helping to raise everybody's vibration to a higher place. So everybody's more on a similar vibration, so they're more receptive to hearing answers.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I heard them say some number that showed how outnumbered the human content or the human participants were, because there were like 10 times more non-physical beings present.
Mm.
And they kind of were like, oh yeah, we've got you outnumbered. And it's almost like, you know, you almost have no choice, even though we do. Your vibration's going to change because you're in our presence for 4 hours, mm-hmm. for 3 hours.
Which makes
sense. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So each time I've been to one, you know, I came home and went, okay, well, I loved all the stuff I heard. I don't know anything specific that's changed. But what I would begin to become aware of over time is I'd start to notice, you know, some circumstance would occur to me and I'd say, oh, you know, I'm responding to this like differently. This is not really a problem anymore. I'm responding with a greater level of ease. I'm like, mm-hmm. And I started to notice more of that in my life. And so that's the kind of shift that I'm talking about that takes place, that you don't really know where it's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does, you go, well, this is different.
Yeah, sure. Oh,
in
yeah.
a positive way.
Well, that actually matches up with what I really wanted from the workshop anyway. Because, I mean, I had questions, partly because they're questions that had popped up, but they weren't like questions that, you know, I desperately need to have an answer to because I was so stuck on something, or, you know, it wasn't anything like that at all. It was more like the expectation, oh, well, you go to a workshop where they ask questions, so you got to have questions ready. It was like the expectation of it more than anything else. But for me, the real reason for going was just to have the experience of it. And that's what I got there. That is exactly what I got, was the experience of it. And it was worth it. I was glad to have gone. I was glad that I had that experience.
Good.
Yeah. So it was good.
Cool.
It was really, really good. I enjoyed it.
I am thrilled for you.
No, thank you. I'll let you know, though. I'll keep monitoring. I'll let you know if there's any other shifts other than the one I've noticed over the last couple of days. Because if it happens,
cool.
I'll bring it up. You know, why not? Hey, we do a show every day. Yeah, there's lots of opportunity.
Well, and that's the kind of stuff I think is worth hearing about, because I don't know any other environment such as going to an Abraham workshop where you're with so many people at that level of vibration. Where everybody, because they purposely do things to bring you to a higher vibration.
Evidently. It's very clear that that's what the stories are for. It's really clear that they want you to laugh. They want you to raise your vibration. And the way I could tell that for sure was at one point, Esther, voicing Abraham, says, "Well, we didn't get the reaction we were expecting on that one." I said, "Oh, that's interesting. You were trying to evoke a reaction." And here they told like five or six stories in a row, and then they told one story that didn't evoke a reaction. Well, clearly this was, I don't want to say manipulative, but it was designed to raise everything. It was designed to get everybody excited and laughing and so forth. And boy, their stuff generally was very funny. So it kind of put in my mind like they're the cosmic comedians, right? Doing the stand-up routine. And in a sense, that's what they were doing. It was great.
That's so funny.
The
cosmic comedians.
The cosmic comedians, yes. It does make me wonder, though, if you say there were 10 times at the other one that you went, I wonder how many more there were than us at this meeting, because this meeting was pretty full. There were like 500 people in the room or something like that. So, yeah, if there was 10 times that amount, that was a crowded room.
Yeah, very crowded
room. I mean, I'm glad that they had good ears. Oh, I got to tell you one thing. I actually anticipated something, which surprised me. I thought of the air conditioning. I was glad that the air conditioning really moved the air well, because you get that many people in a crowded room like that, you want the oxygen constantly recycled, right? So I was really glad for that. At one point, they were talking about, meditation. And they were explaining how Esther does her meditation, and that she basically just picks one thing that she can focus on in her environment. And I said to myself, like the air conditioning. And they said, so for instance, you could focus on the air conditioning. I said, oh, cool.
And Esther is an auditory individual like you are.
Uh-huh.
Like that's her prime modality,
okay.
Auditory. So it doesn't surprise me that she picks a sound to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
When I pick a sound, I like go crazy.
Oh, really?
So I pick a sight. Like right now I'm looking at a picture of lots of flowers. And if I could pick like the center of one particular flower, that would be a perfect meditation focus for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I listen for a sound, that almost is unnerving and causes me to go, wah!
Well, that's an interesting reaction from my perspective. The blah perspective, I'm going to be freaked out because of a sound.
Well, and other people who focus on breathing, that one didn't really work for me, but I do know it works really well for people who are primarily kinesthetic, where they feel things. And so if they feel their breath moving in and out, that seems to be a really calming, soothing meditative practice for those who are kinesthetic.
I have found that breathing does work for me, especially breathing is great for me if my mind is active at night and I'm having trouble going back to sleep. Focusing on my breathing and just staying there and every time I get distracted, coming back to it, that doesn't take me more than a minute or two to fall asleep.
So I'm only bringing this up because we have a broad audience and not everybody is going to be comfortable with the idea of listening to the sound of the air conditioner.
Probably not. No, no.
Looking at, like the center of a flower or breathing. So, I just thought I would give out multiple different ways that meditation can be more simple.
It makes me think I should try something else too, because you mentioned kinesthetic. For me, it isn't so much kinesthetic. I'm just touch oriented. Maybe one thing I could try sometime is some really really soft material, just something to touch.
That could be a way to focus
on that. Like, believe it or not, we have a stuffed lobster.
Okay,
it's a little stuffed animal type toy that we got at L.L. Bean when we went up to Maine, and I just liked it. I liked the feel for it, so I thought I'd buy this thing and bring it home, and every once in a while I'll pick it up and touch it, because it's very very soft. It's like plush, almost a velour kind of a thing, and very very pleasant to touch. So maybe I'll try taking my stuffed lobster and I'll try meditating on that.
Well, like I'm sitting right now in a chair that is kind of like a velour fabric.
Yep.
And I could imagine if I wanted to just like rub it, not where I'm moving my whole hand, but just kind of like my thumb on the armrest.
Yeah.
It's like there's a really pleasant feeling to that. And I could imagine that could be something that could be meditative, just like continually feeling the feeling of this soft velour fabric under my hand.
Sure.
That could be another one. That's cool.
That would work. That would work well.
Wow.
Now, for somebody who's smell-oriented, wonder what they would want to pick. It's got to be something pleasant.
Smell-oriented?
Smell-oriented. So, you know, sense of smell. Like,
well, I suppose if they had a scented candle burning, they could
focus that would work.
The smell of a candle.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep, that would work well.
I don't know anybody who's taste-oriented, but I guess you could put a hard candy or something like that in your mouth.
Well, I don't know. I think there are a lot of people who are taste-oriented. I mean, you live enough among Italians, you realize just how many taste-oriented people there are because Italians love their food.
There you go.
So, you know, you can probably find anything, really.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of meditation is for the purpose of releasing resistance. And so, you know, the idea is if you can focus on something so that as thoughts are coming through, you can be aware of your thoughts and then let them move through and be aware of your thoughts and let them move through, while you're keeping focus on something, you know, that's what helps you to kind of get into a calmer state and be able to, you know, let the thoughts just flow through and let the resistances fall away.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? Letting the resistances fall away.
You know, one of the thoughts I had this morning while I was lying in bed, before I woke up, because the alarm had already gone off, but I let the snooze alarm go off for about 30 minutes before I actually got up. And I was focused on, you know, Project X, which is new business coming into my life.
Right.
And I was focusing on calls. And I'm like, yeah, I want, like, my phone to ring. And I want calls, or I want new people to be calling me, whether it's through email or the telephone, you know, requesting business. And I didn't have I just had that thought, put it that way. Wasn't putting a whole lot of investment in it. It was just like, ooh, that would be nice. And so, you know, I go to work, go to my day job, you know, on the other side of the upstairs. And, I guess it was maybe around 11:45, the phone rings. And it was a lady who had called me. She found me on my website and we chatted for a little while. And there were a couple cool things in that. One I'll mention later, but one of them was, I started to notice we had gone maybe 20 plus minutes into our conversation, and I do offer a free 15-minute consultation. And I don't mind going over time, but I also could sense that she was starting to like be doing therapeutic processing work while we were talking. And I knew that had we continued, I would feel like we're in the middle of a session. And that's not the purpose of a consultation. It's to kind of get to know each other, see if we're a good fit, and determine whether she wants to move on and, you know, do business with me or not.
Right. Yes.
And in the past, I have felt like I don't know how to end that conversation without being rude, or honestly, what I've now determined, feeling like if I cut her off, she won't hire me. Like that would be the thing that I would do that would like break the whole rapport, and she'll go, oh, well, the heck with her, you know.
Well, that's a very understandable fear. That makes sense.
Well, and I recognize today because of how I responded that I have really changed in who I am and what I think of myself and what I think of being able to connect with customers, because I said to her, I said, you know what, I'm going to have to get off the phone in a few minutes. I'm about to go into a session. So what do we need to do to wrap this up? And what do you need to know to go forward?
Nice. Nicely done.
It was so easy. And, you know, we did some logistical stuff, when she'll call, you know, the payment, blah, blah, blah. And we got off the phone within 2 minutes after that. And I went, oh, that was so simple.
I
have never done that with that level of ease. And I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel like I did something that was wrong. You know, her response was, oh, well, of course, because when I said I'm going to go into a session, it's like, duh, you know, she should be lucky that she caught me at a time that I was able
to
take her call.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. That was
so
great.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten on this other, this website called Bark, like a dog barking, bark.com, where it's a concierge service where anybody who's interested in finding any kind of connection can pretty much go log in and say, you're looking for a plumber, you're looking for a gardener, you're looking for, you know, whatever.
Right.
Well, I signed myself up as a life coach.
Good.
And I can get introductions through them, and then I can decide whether I want to reach out to that, you know, person or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one that came through today, and I actually wanted to click on the email button that let me know more about what she was looking for. But by accident, I clicked on the button saying, yes, I want to connect with her. And I had created like a one-page response to anybody that I'm interested in.
So she got
and
that.
Boom, it went out. And I went, okay, it's gone. So I went back and I found her information. And I thought, oh, well, she would be one that I would actually be interested in working with anyway, based on what she was looking for. And I've since called and left a message for her to, you know, give me a call back. But I thought, that's so interesting. I just had the thought this morning. More calls.
Yeah.
More people interested in me.
Yeah.
And I got two within 2 hours of each other.
Nice.
But within about 5 hours from when I set that thought in my brain this morning.
Very
and
good.
One of the things I said to the first lady that called me, we were, you know, talking about law of attraction. And one of the comments that I made was, when you have zero resistance on something you want, it will show up in your experience almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. True.
And she was like, oh, that's cool. Well, I realized that's exactly what happened for me.
Yeah.
I had a desire. I want some people to start calling me and talking to me about doing business with me. And this is the cool part. I guess, Walt, there's the evidence I had no resistance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it showed up. And so after the one from bark.com came through, I got some insight. Huh. I asked for calls. I didn't ask for clients.
Very good. Oh, I love it.
And I thought, oh, well, I'm changing that one because now that I know, but it was really cool that it came through the way it did because I had the thought. And within 5 hours, I had two people reaching out to me. Now, in the past, there had been times that I'd go weeks without anyone reaching out. And if they did, they were so far from being a match for me, it was like ridiculous. Where these two were really a match. This is what, it's like the first lady, she was definitely looking for what it is I do. And the second one, I can't tell exactly, but it looked very promising. So I thought, okay, well, I definitely have some momentum flowing in this direction. I definitely have removed enough resistance because I'm getting pretty darn fast results. So that has actually encouraged me and inspired me to want to come up with some specific things about what I want in my business and then watch it just flow in.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
It can flow in because I moved all those resistant logs.
There you go. That's good.
So I'm pretty darn jazzed.
Yeah, you should be. That's great. That's an excellent breakthrough. Yeah.
Mhm. And then another something I had talked about last week is how my boss had responded to something in an email, and I took it as being critical.
Mhm.
And then I kind of reframed that because like 10 minutes later, he sent something else, and it was all animated and funny and silly. And I thought to myself, maybe I'm just the meaning I'm putting to it is incorrect. Maybe he's not being critical at all. He's just giving me some information. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the hard thing about emails. You can't really True. Tell. You don't hear the sound of their voice.
Right.
And so today, I had sent an email to a group of people. And immediately, he responded with kind of, okay, let's just say, under the old way of thinking, I would have taken it to mean, oh, he's being critical of me again. But instead, I took it as, oh, he's just letting me know something that I didn't know before. He's not being critical.
Mm-hmm.
He's just adding some information. So I responded and I said, hey, thanks for this insight and this new guidance. Obviously, when I sent the email, I wasn't thinking that way, but I get your point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, that just flowed through me like easy breezy.
Very nice.
Like there was no resistance to what he said. And it's like, oh, I accept what he's saying. He wasn't criticizing me. He was just giving me some new information. And he does it in his wording, which can come across as critical, but I took it very different this time. Mm. And that was another piece of evidence that I shifted my vibration on the subject of, which I would say being easily taking criticism very personally, or feeling things are criticism even when they're not. And now I'm like, oh, I didn't even see it as criticism. It was just information.
Yes. Well, cool. That's the way it should be. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. In fact, when you're in that zone like that, I don't always succeed, but I try to do the same thing when like I'm, interacting in one of the Facebook groups or something like that. And I'll put out my own information and I'll get information back. And one of the first things I try to do is to remind myself, now don't look at it from the perspective that there's any emotion that's necessarily attached to it. Just look at it as if it's just a straight communication. And I've actually gotten to the point now where like 9 times out of 10, I can successfully do that. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes, stuff gets through, so to speak. But most of the time, I've been able to do that. And you're right. When you do that, it just seems like it flows, which is the way it should be.
Oh, and then I had another win. I was explaining, I think on Friday's show, about how I had almost been hiding the fact that I was doing this show from those that I work with. Because I didn't want the fact that I take a day off in the middle of my quote work day to in any way have a negative and stigma or anything. I didn't want anybody to question like, hey, what are you doing during work?
Right.
But after my boss had made it clear, because now he's the new boss, he wants everybody to mark an hour on their calendar every day to do something personal so that we can all stay refreshed, etc. That kind of gave me a sense of, oh, okay. I don't have to hide this anymore. I have it on my calendar from 3 to 4 Central Time every day. Well, I just happen to take my lunch hour late. That's all.
Which
so
is
I
great.
Told you, I said, that has freed me. Well, I didn't know what it freed me to do. I just knew it was a very freeing thought. And so Saturday morning, I got up and I went to my computer and I went to loatoday.net, the site that has all the archives of our shows, but what it also has is all the share buttons.
Wow.
And every platform that I utilize, I went and did a share and personalized my comments. And it felt so good to know that I have told my tweeters, first time I've ever used Pinterest. I did my personal Facebook page. Then I have two business pages. I shared it with those. And I shared it with my LinkedIn group, and I have my own personal LinkedIn, but then I have a group called Law of Attraction with Abraham Hicks, and I shared it in that group too.
Very nice.
So it was just so liberating to know that this thing I'm so proud of, which is co-hosting this show with you, I don't have to hide under a bushel anymore.
Well, great.
It's like it can just be completely out there for the whole world to see. And one of my friends on Facebook replied today and said, well, was this like a one-time thing and I missed it? Or is this something I can actually listen to today? And who knows, maybe she's listening right now.
That would be great. Welcome if you are.
Because I said, yes, you can listen to it any day, and I explained. And that was just such a fun thing. I love that. So.
Terrific. Yeah. Well, and I'm really glad that you do decide to, allocate your free hour during the day to us, because we're the beneficiaries of that. I mean, you are too, but we are as well. So thank you. And thank you to your boss for being willing to do that, because this is great. This is really good stuff. We love it.
So I wonder where the sharing will go. I mean, I know you say many on many of the shows, you ask our listeners to share with their friends and, the people that they're connected to on all of their different platforms. And it felt a little disingenuous for me to be sitting in the background while you're telling everybody to do that, knowing that I hadn't felt a comfort level to do that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, but now that I have, it's like, yay, that discomfort is completely gone.
Hey, well, you ask, where does it go? I mean, we never really know, do we? That's one of the things about working with mm-hmm. social media. You put something out, you never know who's going to be logged in, who's going to happen to see it. It's just, it goes out there, and it's kind of like a nice way of just letting the universe take care of it for you. You just put it out there, and then the universe directs it to the right person who needs to see it, which inevitably happens, which is really weird. It's almost inevitable.
And one of the things on LinkedIn that I do not know is if, like, when I post something and it goes onto a newsfeed, does it go on to just my first level newsfeed, or does it go to my third level connection newsfeed?
It's hard to tell.
If it goes to third level, I've literally put it on millions.
I would suspect that a lot of it has to do with what level of interaction you normally get when you post something on LinkedIn. And I don't know, maybe you aren't doing a whole lot on LinkedIn. If you're not, then at the moment your level of interaction with others might be fairly low. On the other hand, if you're putting out stuff regularly and people start interacting with it and interacting more and more, and they're commenting and they're sharing and so forth, then it probably gets to the point fairly quickly where, yes, the second and third level people start seeing it more and more often, simply because any of the social media platforms, they want to put stuff near the top that has some degree of popularity. Well, what's the best way to measure popularity? By seeing how popular it is, seeing what people are reacting to. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fundamental concept.
Well, that's
an
interesting point. I'll have to do some testing on that.
Yeah.
You know, with some of my LinkedIn friends and see if they're seeing my stuff. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Anyway. You know, you put out some feelers, say, just curious to know whether or not you might have seen it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, and you're one of my LinkedIn connections. So, you know, if you go back out to LinkedIn, who knows if it's in your newsfeed.
Well, considering how little I'm on LinkedIn, there's probably nobody following anything that I would do. But nevertheless, I will check it out.
Well, that's cool.
See, just because I know the rule doesn't mean that I follow it.
Gotcha.
Although we're going to be doing more of that.
Overall, from this weekend and today, I have to say that I have a very elevated feeling of well-being. It's like things in my life just feel smooth. And this is a different feeling for me. Like, this is an elevated feeling in terms of, this is not how I always feel. I usually feel good, but I feel even better than good now.
Nice.
And that's really pleasant.
Yeah.
Really pleasant.
Well, that's where I've been wanting to get to also. And I think I'm getting closer to it. I'm definitely experiencing a higher level of well-being than I'm used to. And I'm really interested in staying here because I like it.
Well, you know, you and I were both, we both contributed to a Facebook post on one of the Law of Attraction Facebook sites. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's something that we might want to chat about because.
Sure. You'll have to remind me. I don't remember the post at all.
Okay. So this particular lady, I don't remember her name and I wouldn't give it anyway, but she was having a really bad day.
Oh, okay.
And she was saying all these different things that went wrong. And I guess there were probably about five or six things. But what I remembered was she was out to lunch and she spilled soup on her blouse. Her father told her she needed to start working out because of the size of her stomach. I can't remember the other things, but it was just kind of like one thing after another. I sensed that she was experiencing like a negative snowball effect. You know, as her
Makes
day
sense.
Unfolded,
yeah.
Everywhere she went, something else happened that was unpleasant. And I guess what I found really fascinating, because I don't respond to everything I see, only the ones that, you know, in my gut I feel led to. The very first response, somebody said something like, what does this have to do with LOA? This is all a negative rant.
Yeah, not exactly the most helpful, but okay.
Well, but what I thought was, and I just wanted to make a comment on it, everything in life has to do with LOA.
Exactly.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because what the woman who did the posting, she was experiencing how Law of Attraction was responding to what she was broadcasting. Now, she was not aware of what she was broadcasting based on the back and forth that she and I did when I started, you know, interacting with her, because she actually said, she goes, honestly, the thought I had this morning was, I can't wait for today. It's something I've been looking forward to all day long. And my internal response, not the response I gave to her, but my internal response was, that's what I deal with quite often with many clients and people who are new to law of attraction.
Sure, yeah.
Because most people are not connected to their feelings or knowing what they feel. And so she cited the first thought she could think of that was that morning. But, you know, we have thoughts and feelings, millions of them, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And she only could think of one.
Yeah.
But I know that if she would think in more detail, like especially, okay, let's say, I'm going to make this up. She goes to the dry cleaner and her dry cleaning is not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So the typical response is, what's wrong with these people? They said it would be ready today. Now it's not. I'm really upset. I'm going to have to come back later. I don't have time to rearrange my whole schedule. Well, all of those thoughts and feelings have now created quite the broadcast signal. And law of attraction is like, oh, okay, she likes frustration. She likes to be late because that's what she's focused on.
That's
I'm now
right.
going to be late and this isn't going right. So now she, let's say, shows up late to her lunch appointment and then she spills soup on her blouse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, that was in response to what she had. She's probably was still focusing on the dry cleaning thing as she's driving, you know, and then she now spills soup on her blouse. Well, now she's really ticked off because she's like, here's something else that now has to go back to the dry cleaner. But, you know, I hate this dry cleaner. What's wrong with these people?
Mm-hmm.
And now I look like a mess and I have two more meetings to do today and I don't have time to go home. And it's like, I was just sensing the negative snowball effect that she probably had going on throughout the day. But what I thought was fascinating is the only thing she could remember was how she entered the day with positive expectation because it's something she'd been looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't pay attention to what the other thoughts had been.
Right.
She'd probably had at least 100,000 of them throughout the day, but she only remembered the one in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I'm working with a client, you know, I'm trying to help them recognize there are thoughts and feelings that we're experiencing all day long, but we're often not aware of them. And so how do you become aware? Well, you have to like consciously pay attention. And that was something I suggested to her is I said, and if you can't think of anything else, any other thoughts you had on that particular day, that's okay. Be gentle with yourself, but just kind of like set the intention that you want to start focusing in on what am I thinking and what am I feeling. And when you can connect to what you're thinking and feeling, then notice what shows up. Because when you can begin to recognize how your thoughts and feelings actually produce certain results, it's kind of like eventually your mind goes, ding, 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 ding. Oh, I get it. I really am the creator of my own reality.
Yes.
My thoughts are creating what's showing up, both in the positive and the negative.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
And the things we don't.
But you're right. That's exactly what happens. Even though it's a hard concept to get, once I got it, I wanted as quickly as possible to be aware of all the times that I was going neg, as I thought of it, so that I could at least have the opportunity to do something about it. I didn't always know what to do about it, but I figured, well, I'll just start with knowing that I'm doing it. That's a good place to start.
Well, really. And that is, well, step one is just becoming aware.
Yeah.
You may not know what to do with that which you are now aware of,
mm-hmm.
but until you're aware, you can't really make any deliberate shifts.
That's right.
Changes.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It reminds me of the movie The Secret. They did a really nice sequence on this. I don't know if you remember it, but it's the one where the young woman's starting her day and she's putting toothpaste on her toothbrush and the toothpaste accidentally splurts out all over the place. And she just reacts badly to it. Oh, geez, that kind of thing. And then it spirals one thing after another. So she kicks her shin against, you know, a chair or the bed or something like that. And she ladders her hose that she's wearing. And then, you know, it's like one thing after another just keeps going wrong. And then they replay the whole thing, starting with the tube of toothpaste. But this time, when the tube of toothpaste blurts out all this toothpaste all over the place, she just shrugs her shoulders and brushes her teeth. And then the next things that you see happening are she's having, you know, a nice cup of coffee, and nice things are happening here, and nice things are happening there, all because she didn't let it escalate. She stopped right there and decided, you know what, I'm going to feel good anyway.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
And, you know, I had one of those experiences today where when I use my computer, I like a full-size keyboard, mm-hmm. and I use the control key for everything.
No.
I do lots of shortcuts, and shortcuts all begin with control C, control V, control X.
They usually
control
do,
y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I was doing my normal thing today, and it's like it's stuff that is so autopilot, I'm not thinking about what I'm doing, but I'm noticing that the output in this spreadsheet was coming up gibberish. I went, "What on earth is going on?"
Oops.
And I was just having the hardest time figuring it out. And so I Googled, you know, because I eventually figured out my control key is not taking the input. So I went and I Googled what happens when your control key is not working. And so I did some things and to try to fix it and reboot it, and it still didn't work. But fortunately, there's a control key to the right side, on your right hand. I'm just used to using the one on my left hand.
Right.
And so this is now here's the fascinating part. Something like this in the past, oh my God, it would have gotten me so angry. I mean, it would have blown right past frustration. It would have taken me into anger like you would not believe.
Wow.
Because my old belief system was, this is slowing me down. I'm not able to do what comes natural to me. You know, it's screwing up my workflow. And oh, it would have been nasty. And I promise you, I didn't have one uncomfortable feeling. Instead, I chose to get curious. And I said, well, gosh, I've been using the control key with my left pinky for an awful long time. So much to the fact, I don't even realize how much I'm doing it. It's just an autopilot
mm-hmm,
part of
sure.
my day.
Yeah.
And when I found out I could use the control key on the right side, I went, okay, well, I'm not like without a paddle here. I just have to shift what I'm doing and use some different keystrokes. And I had to get conscious about what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has actually been kind of fun. I've been doing it now for a couple hours today. It's been kind of fun to go, I didn't even realize that that's how I move quickly from word to word. I hold the control and the shift key and the arrow key. And I do so many combinations of shortcuts that it's been kind of fun to go, so how do I do that? Because I'm really good at it. Oh, this is kind of cool. Now, I did kind of figure out eventually that the left side of the control key, like whatever's underneath it, I think is broken. Because it just kind of goes limp.
Yeah.
But now this is technical. On the control key, if I press on the right side of the control key, that still gives the control impact.
Huh.
But the left side of the control key is what's broken. So if I just hit it with the right from the right angle, it'll still work. But I just can't move really fast.
Well, I have to say that's
so
unique.
I may need to get a new keyboard. I may not.
Probably.
But
yeah.
I tell you, in the past, oh my God, my world would have gone upside down crazy. I would have been bitching, moaning, and complaining of how long it's going to take me to get a new keyboard. And even if I find it on eBay and they, you know, shipped it overnight, that'll cost me $1 million. I mean, I would have been upset about so many different things. And right now I'm like, well, I don't really know what I'm going to do, but I'll wait for an impulse from my inner being to let me know what the best selection is. Because the moment I recognized my keyboard is probably not functioning properly, I knew in that moment there was an unconscious request of the universe, hey, I need a new keyboard
mm-hmm.
with a working control key.
Yeah.
So it's not even like I have to go, I have to make an official request and submit it to this universe. It's like, no, I know the request is already in. So now it's a matter of receiving the answer you know, as to whether I go on eBay and buy one, because I'm very particular about this particular model. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they still sell it. But it's like, I'll get one or I won't, or maybe I'll figure out something else. Who knows? But the cool part, and this really is a step five experience, where I recognize that things that, quote, go wrong, nothing's really gone wrong. Everything's okay. Everything's always working out. It's all just fine. And who knows what this is going to lead me to?
Very true. I don't know. Very true.
Because I haven't gone there yet. But
that's right.
It's so pleasant to not get angry. It's so pleasant
yes.
to have really my new autopilot response was, huh, isn't this interesting?
Yeah, well, that's how we move forward. That's how we grow. That's how we know that we're making progress. When we leave the old behaviors behind, it's like, whoa, boy, I am so glad that one's gone. I was sick to death of it. When it's gone, it's like, yahoo.
And I've had a number of those evidences in the last 3 days that are, you know, equaling, I think, or maybe they're undergirding this new level of well-being that I'm experiencing. But it feels pretty dramatically cool.
And you know what the really best part is? The best part is that because we're not, you know, going into negative spirals because something happened, we're allowing ourselves to stay in that positive place, that high vibration place that hopefully keeps getting higher because we're doing the five-step process, which we haven't really defined. We're going to have to define that pretty soon this week because otherwise listeners are going to say, what the hell are they talking about?
All right, let's talk about it tomorrow.
Okay, all right, we'll make that part of our topic for tomorrow because that really needs to be discussed. But, without getting into the details of it, part of the process is getting into a really what they call the high-flying place, right? You know, the place where you feel it really good. And then making your next ask because now you're in a good place. So, mm-hmm. you know, if we're in that good place all the time, now we're making all asks from a high vibrational point of view, which means we're doing it with less resistance, which means stuff happens faster. And that's what I've wanted all along. I think you probably wanted it too. You know, we want stuff to happen faster. We want our requests to get answered quickly. It makes it easier to believe, and it makes it easier to do, and it makes it easier to keep dreaming more.
And that just, when you said that, it connected to my thought this morning while I was still lying in bed, which was about having the phone ring and having new people connect with me about wanting to do business with me. I had just woken up. And, you know, Abraham talks about when you just wake up, you are at the highest, or a very high vibration in the morning because you release resistance during the night.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
the only
right.
way it comes back into your day is if you start thinking about the stuff from yesterday and
True.
The day before and all the things that went wrong.
Yeah.
And that's how you drag resistance back into your today. But every day is fresh. Every yeah. time you wake up, it's fresh. I like to take multiple naps on the weekends for that specific purpose. One, because they feel good. But two, because every time I go to sleep, I release all resistance, and now I get to start the whole day again.
Uh-huh.
And then I do it again and again. And that's a great time for your asks because you're in a space of no resistance. And so when I did that this morning, I knew by the result I had no resistance on that request.
That's interesting to me because I have to admit, I'm one of the people who always kind of resisted and abhorred naps, primarily because my experience usually was if I woke up from a nap, it's almost like being awakened in the middle of a deep sleep. That's the way my body would react. So I'd be dragging for a few hours. And I know that's not the way most people react to a nap, but that's the way it affected me. So I didn't want to have them. It never occurred to me, though, that you could wake up with the resistance gone. That thought just never even came close to coming into my mind. So maybe that helps me, you know, change my perception about naps.
I mean, sometimes I do a power nap. I call it a power nap because it's got to be quick and short.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do it before I have a client.
Uh-huh.
And I will say that I'm not groggy, but I'm in a I'm not like super buoyant and energetic like I am right now because I've been awake for a number of hours.
Right.
But, you know, talk to me about law of attraction and boom, I'm on in like 2 seconds flat. But it's like before the phone rings or before I make the call, I feel a little sleepy because I just woke up. But then once we get going, boom, we're in it.
Well, that's what
I'm like a power napper from way back when.
Okay. Well, that's what the intro to the show is for me. That's my anchor for getting good. Now, welcome to LOA Today. And instantly, my vibration goes up just by saying those words because I have a strong association with it, you know? So, same kind of thing. Well, I don't think we're going to get to the book. So we're going to have to, I'm going to have to rewrite the description and the title for the show. But that's okay. This has been good. It's been really good to do this. What do we do with the last few minutes, though? Because I have to admit, I'm not quite sure where to go with it. This is a rare situation for me. You know how it is. Normally, I've got some place to go. I have no idea what to do with this. Any clues? Any ideas?
Well, let's talk about, so after you went to the Abraham thing, did anything occur to you in terms of like new inspirations of things that you want or you want to focus on going forward?
Well, I can tell you what the immediate reaction was, and this was actually planned. Immediately after the workshop ran from 9 to 1 with, I think, 3 breaks in there. And after the workshop was over, Louise and I went right to the car, drove 2.5 miles, 3 miles down the road to our favorite diner in Stamford and had Greek gyros for lunch, which were absolutely delicious. So I wasn't so much focused on what was going to happen vibrationally in the long run. I was focused on the short run. And, oh, boy, was that good. But long
and
run,
I want you to know I was thinking about you while you were eating those.
Oh, were you really? Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry you weren't there to have them with us because they were absolutely delicious. They were exactly what they always are every time we eat there. I mean, they're like these strips of lamb, I mean, cooked to perfection with lettuce and tomato and so forth. They're on a pita roll. And the sauce, whose name I can never pronounce, David was able to pronounce it, but I still don't know what it is. But it's delicious. You pour it on, and oh, God, it's to die for. And then they have, like, the world's best French fries. At least maybe not the world's best, but, you know, the best for southwestern Connecticut. How about that? They're just delicious French fries. You know, so that combination, oh. And the best part, like I told David yesterday, the best part was that when I was eating it, very often, if I'm eating something really good, I won't give myself the time to really enjoy it. I'm just like, oh, wow, wow, wow. I'm just, you know, devouring the thing. I gave myself the time to really enjoy it. And, oh, what an experience that was. It was so good. Every bite. I mean, Louise and I, we were barely even talking, which is kind of unusual. You know, she loves to talk while we were just silent. We were just enjoying this food and just savoring it, and it was just filling up our senses. It was, I mean, there was nothing to talk about. The senses were in overload.
That's like, you know, whenever we're at a big family function and everybody's talking, and then when people start eating,
and everything
like
goes silent. Yes.
Yeah, and you're like, oh yeah, people are really enjoying the food. That's
absolutely
what this reminds me of.
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like, but on a really raised level. That's where I think the feeling that from the workshop, the experience of the workshop from a feeling point of view, that's what carried over, because I was enjoying that meal, and I know Louise was too, in a really big way. Oh, and then on top of that, after we're done there, then we drive back up north to Hartford, you know, north of Hartford where we live. And we actually stopped off in West Hartford where there's a cheesecake factory and stopped off for some cheesecake. So we got inundated again on the sensory overload. So we were doing sensory overload in gigantic ways on Saturday. We were so
really
satiated.
Good food will definitely do that for
it
you.
Really does, yeah. And I can highly recommend it after a great Abraham workshop. It just heightens the senses.
Well, you know, many times I would be at restaurants with people, and when the meal was over, I didn't even notice what I ate because I was so involved in the conversation. And although that is a really fun and wonderful experience, I'm learning now to have the two of them. It's okay to be silent while you're just going, this tastes so good.
Oh, yes.
Because then it's like you get an even greater level of satisfaction when you allow everything you're doing to be something that in the now you are truly savoring and feeling satisfied, whether it's conversation with good friends or whether you're like chewing on something that has wonderful spices and, you know, textures and whatnot.
So, oh, yeah. Well, especially as I've been savoring this conversation, I'm afraid we're going to have to draw it to a close because we have used up the hour. But it's been great. Wendy, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, especially let's do the 5-step process. I think that's a good topic for part of tomorrow. All right?
It's ready to roll.
All right. And we'll see you all next time as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
See you later.